141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of Scotland's first Euro qualifier. Steve Clarke's been handed a new contract as the manager before Cyprus come to Hampden tomorrow. Andy Robertson believes the side must come through the toughest of all the groups to get to the finals next year. And you've got Friday night domestic football in the Championship and League One and League Two as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, hand-picked for the eve of the big game, we've got 69 Scotland caps between us, and one of us has even scored against Cyprus as well, Hugh Keevans.
And one of us was at the first game, and now we're celebrating the 150th anniversary. I can understand why the SFA have done it, announcing the appointment of Stevie Clarke and the extension to the contract, which will take us up to the World Cup of 2026. He is stability, he is security, he is continuity, but he has to get off to a good start, and there can be no slip-ups against Cyprus. Spain will present a formidable challenge on Tuesday, and Erling Haaland is in the background as well. You don't want to announce the extension to the contract of a man who, after three games, might find himself in trouble, but positivity.
I'm not thinking about Erling Haaland right now, because that will keep you awake, Kenny Miller. Let's deal with him when he comes around. Big weekend, and as you well know, Cyprus strikes you as one of those opponents that you clearly should win. You go in as favourites, but it feels like every time we play them, it finishes 2-1, and it's very tight.
It's got that Israel feel about it again, isn't it? We seem to play Israel for so many times over the last four or five seasons, but it is. It's a game, particularly at home. It's a good starting point for us. Get 3 points in again, because it's going to be a tough night on Tuesday night. But listen, you never know, with that Hampden crowd behind you, we've seen some big performances in the past, so let's hope for a big start.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so come on down. What are you thinking about tomorrow then, in general terms? How do you feel about the game, the challenge, of course the team? We always love to do that the night before any big game, don't we? The big debate this week has been who plays in goals. So this will be your last chance really to have your say. Pick one: Angus Gunn, Xander Clarke, Liam Kelly. But all over the pitch really, is Ryan Porteous going to come into that defence? Is it a back three? Is it a back four? Is Scott McTominay in there? Is it going to be Ryan Jack and Callum McGregor in midfield? Might Lewis Ferguson be handed a start given his form in Serie A? Is it just Adams up front? Is he up with Dykes? Who else? All the usual questions. This is the place we try and answer them. And in a news sense, to talk Hugh Keevan's language of the old newspaper man amongst us, Steve Clarke, new contract. That's your news line today. And what do you make of it? Is that the right decision or the wrong decision or somewhere in between? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. The sheer novelty of a Saturday afternoon qualifier, Hugh, is the main thing I'm taking away from it so far. Can't remember the last time we had one, but
the size of the crowd as well. You know, I mean every word of what I said about Steve Clarke: security, stability, continuity. However, we had a European Championship that wasn't the brightest. I cannot overlook the fact that we got one goal, 1 point, and we're out. And I can't overlook the fact that we blew it against Ukraine in the World Cup qualifier. He needs a good start to this campaign. We need to see that we are going somewhere. If you look at the players individually, some of them are at clubs who have had a horrendous season. Even Andy Robertson at Anfield. Liverpool, by their exceptionally high standards, have been awful. Kieran Tierney can't get a game at Arsenal. Dykes is just back after a very serious illness. Can you possibly play him? And so on and so forth. Steve Clarke needs a positive start tomorrow. And I commend the ticket buyers, because they are always there for Scotland, and that they have suffered disappointment and want to see a bright start tomorrow.
Well, actually, this is the thing, Kenny, and we'll find out on the, you know, on the phone lines and in the coming hours and coming days. But actually, they've not always been there, in the sense that a home qualifier against Cyprus, there have been many times over the last few years where that wouldn't be full, but it is now. And maybe that tells you that although we've had a few months without international football, there is still a bit of momentum there. There is still a bit of feel good factor. We've had the promotions from League C to League B, now to League A in the Nations League. Got to the Euros first and foremost. Yes, Hugh quite rightly points out, could have done better. Then got to a playoff, again, could have done better. But still, there must be something there for that hardcore batch of fans, because I'll repeat it, we would not have always sold out a home tie against Cyprus, but now there seems to be a bit of a feel good there.
Yeah, listen, the Tartan Army, they normally turn up in their numbers. I mean, I used to love the Saturday afternoons at Hampden, a full house, walking out there again. Like you say, it's rare now. But I still think there is a feel-good factor. That the problem is you had that little lull. I mean, there was such an upward curve that we were all going into the Euros, and like Hugh says, it was disappointing. And then there's been some really, really strong performances since the Euros as well, like big results against really, really good teams. But there's also been that one game where you fall down, you don't make the World Cup, which always is the one you're going to be kind of scrutinised over most. But I still think there's a lot of positivity surrounding that squad, and you just need to look at, I think it is squad. Hugh's right, there is certain players in it that are maybe not getting as much game time as they like. Maybe their teams or their personal form is not right where it should be. But it's a strong looking group for me, a group that can hopefully take us to the next Euros.
69 caps, 18 goals. Was the Cyprus one the best of the lot? Because I watched it back the other day, and if you've scored one better, I'm keen to know which one it was.
See, better is, it's a funny word, isn't
aesthetic,
it?
Aesthetic.
I would say spectacular.
Right, okay.
Absolutely not. That was definitely the most spectacular. Better, I think, again, I thought the England one to finish wasn't a bad one.
Yeah, to be fair, it wasn't bad either.
A good header against Italy as well, and that was a brilliant team goal. Really good at work, all the way up one side, back out.
No. We're not interested in team goals. Be selfish here. This is all about you.
I'm saying spectacular or best. So it was good, but absolutely, really spectacular. And it was actually worked on as well, Gordon. That was the thing. It was actually worked on. Yeah.
So it was the big diagonal.
It was Christoph Berra.
And then a volley over the keeper's head. I'm telling you, see if you've not seen this, Kenny Miller against Cyprus, you're going to want to look it up. And the other goal scorer that night, Hugh,
was
Jamie Mackey.
Blimey.
The quiz question.
Good goal as well. That was good. Individual goal.
Anyway, 01419511025. Simon is a big Scotland fan. He's on the line tonight. What are you thinking, Simon?
Hi guys, how yous all doing?
Good.
I think I have to disagree with Kenny. My favourite was the one at Wembley. I think the little turn was absolutely beautiful. So that's my favourite.
You all just seduced because of it's because of the opposition, Simon. That's what you mean, really.
I've got a point, obviously, on the Steve Clarke contract news, and then one in the game tomorrow. So that's all right. I'm absolutely delighted with the news about Steve Clarke. I think he's the best manager we can get. Obviously, I'm a Kilmarnock fan, so there's maybe a little bit of bias in that. But I've seen the work he did at Kelly. I've seen the work he's done at Scotland. I know people throw this out a lot, but I can't think of anyone who would be a better option. I think the whole of Scotland's been burnt a little bit by the foreign manager thing with Bertie Vokes, even though I don't think Bertie was necessarily, you know, the worst if you look at the numbers only. But I think we're burnt by that. So I think in terms of Scottish managers, you're not going to get any better than that. It's between him and Davy Moyes, I think, for the best Scottish managers around. So, you know, absolutely delighted that he's going to stay. I think the work he's doing is fantastic. You know, he gets a bad rep sometimes because he can be a bit dour in the press and he might come across a bit like that, but his teams aren't always like that. You know, watch back that Denmark game and tell me that was defensive and dour football, because that was one of the best performances I've seen from a Scotland team in my lifetime. So I'm absolutely delighted with the news about him, and, you know, positive going forward. I think he can really make a difference to Scotland.
Well, you know the way this country works, Simon. You take that positive view, there'll be someone along in 5 minutes' time to say, they only extended his contract because it's a lazy thing to do. They're not actually thinking it through and looking for someone better.
But why would you right now look for someone better?
Simply because it's the nature of the country. Yeah. You know, they'll say, he had a bad Euros, failed to qualify for the last World Cup, and they're just sticking with him because they can't be bothered doing anything about it. However, I agree with Simon. I think it's good news, and it's been timed to coincide with the start of this campaign. The problem will be, as I said, if in the middle of the campaign it's not going terribly well, then people will say, why did you extend his contract before the competition even began? However, that's Stevie Clark's job to do. I just think that I'd like to see us be a bit brighter, be a bit more successful, if you like. We can't go on and on about David Marshall in Serbia and yes, Sir Rykin Boogie. We just can't live on that. It's got to be better than we did in the Euros, and we were very poor against Ukraine. I wish him well. I think it's right that he continues. gets the extension to the contract, but I think we need to be brighter.
I wouldn't necessarily argue with that, Kenny, but at the same time, I mean, the Euros was 2 years ago, right? So either sort of move on or you don't. If you're saying we need to move on from the positives, then you've got to move on from the negatives as well. You can't have it both ways. Steve Clarke right now, if you've made the call to sort of, you know, move beyond that, that can't still be getting used as a stick to beat him with 2 years on, surely.
Listen, I don't think so. I understand. I mean, there was so much hype going into it. There was so much euphoria and positivity going into the Euros. I mean, we've seen the draw and it was on home soil as well. There was so much positivity going into it. And you're right, we never turned up, we never performed. But yeah, we got our point, we got our goal. But it was for that group of players, I think. I mean, Simon talked about Denmark. You think Ukraine 3-0, there's been Austria away. There's been so many good performances over Steve's tenure as the manager that we just never turned up and showed our best version of our team there over that tournament. But like you say, we're 2 years down the line now and we're looking forward to the next Euros. We're at the start of the campaign. I love Simon's positivity. It's an opportunity, two home games, to get off to a really good start, all starting tomorrow with Cyprus and 3 points.
What do you think of the timing of it, Simon, though, that, you know, that just before this campaign kicks off?
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said that it was to, you know, create that level of positivity. I think what you'll find is a lot of people who have a go at Scotland and have a go at Steve Clarke or team selection tend to be the people who don't actually go to the games. I think you'll find if you go to the games and, you know, you chat to people around Hampden or away games as well, everybody's, obviously can't speak for everybody, but the vast, vast majority are fully behind Steve Clarke. So I think this will be a big boost going into tomorrow. On that game, actually, if you don't mind, like, I actually think in the discussion during the week, for me, there's no debate in the goalkeeper. I think it will be Angus Gunn. Liam Kelly is, you know, he must be a decent goalkeeper, but any time I see him, he's made a couple of really bad howlers at Rugby Park. He's thrown in a couple. I don't think he's up to the level of being an international goalkeeper, the number one going forward. I think the team tomorrow, I'd go with McTominay in defence with Hanley and Tierney as the back three. I think, obviously, Andy Robertson's nailed in at left wing back, but I think that bring Nathan Patterson in for this one because we want to be a bit more attacking in that game and save Hickey. I think Hickey will come in for the Spain game. In the midfield three, I've had McGregor, Gilmore, and I'd actually have Lewis Ferguson in there. I think he provides that bit more solidity as well, which will allow Gilmore to play. And then I have McGinn playing off Shea Adams. I think that would be a good team. I think that would get the result done, do it quite comfortably as well, and then give us a wee bit of positivity going into the Spain game, which actually, I was talking with my mate today about it, and it's so similar to what Steve Clarke at Kilmarnock, when we've played against Brendan Rodgers Celtic especially. You know, Spain like to keep possession all the time, often playing side to side. We saw that game against Costa Rica, and not only that game, but multiple times in the World Cup, where they had all the possession, but a team who was organised and did well against them, actually I don't think it was Costa Rica, sorry, but they did well by just having been solid and defensive, which was what we did in games against Celtic and Rangers latterly. So I think that's the kind of game that Steve Clarke's eyes will light up at. He'll have been working on that formation, and, you know, actually quite positive that we might even get a result in that game too.
And Simon's got the master plan. So if Steve Clarke phones in sick tomorrow, Simon's had that team well thought out, and it all justified. You know, we can all argue for your own personal opinion, but makes a good case for everyone who's going to play in goal. He thinks it's nailed on Angus Gunn.
So do I. I believe that Steve Clarke wants to believe that Angus Gunn is the real deal and can move forward with him. The loss of Craig Gordon is a severe blow. I don't believe the manager has the utmost confidence in either Xander Clarke or Liam Kelly, and he wants to think that Angus Gunn can be his man. So he'll get the audition tomorrow. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Are you as sure, Kenny?
You know, I do tend to agree probably mostly with the thinking. He's still improving. He wasn't getting a game at Norwich at the start of the season. Again, I'm not going to pretend that I watched it and watched Norwich. I did watch them last week, and I thought they were
you
really
were in
poor,
the championship
honest, yeah.
for a bit this season.
Yeah, and they're not having a great season. There's another one of these teams that are not having a great year. It could be that Angus Gunn's timed his run really well with the injury, and he's actually found a little bit of form individually, not really with his team. But I would be disappointed for Xander Clarke and Liam Kelly, because they've been around the squad for a number of years now. They've not had a cap. There's been opportunities to give them a cap, and it's, see, for goalkeepers to continually turn up every single trip, every single camp, and probably know that they're not going to play, they're not going to get any more because of the form of Craig Gordon, or if it was previous, it was David Marshall, or previous to that, it was Alan McGregor. It's, I think it would be really, really harsh on them if Angus Gunn was to come straight up and get the number one slot. But there are three of them without cap. The three of them are improving at the level. The only one I do know really well was Liam Kelly, and I understand that he maybe could have done better with a couple of goals and things, but he's also made absolutely outstanding saves over the course of the season. And if he's given the nod, I know he wouldn't let anybody down because his mentality is built to play at that level.
I mean, at the end of the day, you have three uncapped goalkeepers, and I firmly believe, along with Simon, that it will be Angus Gunn. But Angus Gunn then has to do it.
He also has to prove you Monday to Friday, I'm ready to step in here and I'm ready to take this jersey on and be the number one. Because what this week's been, I think, for the goalkeepers, it's a specialised position. Chris Woods will have a say in it, I would imagine, that they've got a chance to show I'm the guy, you know, and carry it and actually train properly and show that, because again, a lot of the technical stuff and then do their work one-to-one with Chris Woods, that I'm the best guy out of these three. Each of them had that opportunity.
I don't think Steve Clarke puts him in if he doesn't think he's had a good week. But I honestly believe it's wishful thinking on the part of the manager. He wants to believe that Angus Gunn can be the full-time replacement for Craig Gordon.
Simon, what do you make of Kenny's concern, if you would call it that, or pointing out that it's harsh or unfair or whatever word you want to use on the guys that have been in squads before?
Well, that's football, isn't it? It's a cutthroat business, and at the end of the day, if Steve Clarke doesn't get the results, then it's him that's going to carry the can, not Liam Kelly or Xander Clarke. I think that, you know, you mentioned there that he didn't get in at the Norwich team at the start. Well, there must be a reason why nobody signed Xander Clarke in the summer after he left St Johnstone. You know, he was without a club for quite a while before he went to Hearts. Now, I think he's a decent goalkeeper. I think he did really well at St Johnstone. He's pulled off some really good saves at Hearts. I think he's ahead of Liam Kelly, but I don't think either would fill me with, you know, huge confidence going into the future, thinking, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years, they're going to be Scotland's number one. Because they are like all keepers, capable of making mistakes. I think Angus Gunn, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Championship, but having read and seen Norwich fans, they've been really impressed with him this season. He's got the, I think, the joint highest save percentage in the Championship, you know, along with a guy, Steve Clarke as well, and Dan Bachman at Watford, who's an outstanding goalkeeper, and he's the regular for Austria now. So, you know, if he's playing at that sort of level, he's doing that those kind of performances, he's good in stature. I heard he's talking about it yesterday. I think he's 6'4", 6'5". So he's got that stature. I think I would be much more confident going into the games with him. And it is harsh. Obviously, it's a bit unfair on guys who do turn up heavy. But it's not like you're turning up to do, you know, work in a gulag. It's like you're coming up to train on, well, sometimes the best pitches, if we're not at Orium, but you're coming up with the best coaches.
The best, you know, you're playing, Simon, I'll tell you that.
you're playing for your country. You know, you're there to train and work with the staff. You're considered one of the best players for your country that you've got been called up to that squad. So, you know, it should be an honour to come and do it. It shouldn't be like, oh, I've turned up 8 times, so I should deserve, you know, the call-up. It should be the best player, because at the end of the day, it's going to be Steve Clarke's neck on the line if it doesn't go well.
Listen, it will be the best player, Simon. There's no doubt about it. And that's why I'm saying that the training week is going to be big for all three, because none of them are proven. Like, Hugh's right. You're picking something and you're hoping. Yes, you've got evidence there, but a body evidence of the games that they've played and the saves that you could potentially make. But none of us really know. And I mean, your opinion on Angus Gunn is fair. Obviously, you see probably a lot more Xander Clarke and Liam Kelly, and you're probably a lot more kind of qualified to pick holes and their goalkeeping rather than Angus Gunn's. But the bottom line is, all goalkeepers have got an opportunity this week to go and show, I want to be the guy to fill Craig Gordon's shoes, and they can go and take the shot.
This is entirely speculative on my part.
It's not like you.
But I believe that Steve Clarke has looked at Xander Clarke and Liam Kelly over a long period of time and wanted to bring in somebody else, and his man is Angus Gunn.
To be fair, though, you would have to say that, well, let's particularly Xander Clarke, because of the way he's come into the team and deputised for Craig Gordon. Xander Clarke is in a much better place as a goalkeeper now than he was in the last international break, isn't he? Because he's had that body of work behind him.
But I go back to the point. Steve Clarke has had them in squads for a long number of games, and he has decided to look elsewhere, and he's put, I think he's put his faith in Angus Gunn, and Angus Gunn had better justify his faith.
Thank you, Simon. He's happy with Steve Clarke's new contract. I know you won't all be, and it's always nice to hear some balance, and you won't all be tipping Angus Gunn to play tomorrow, so let's hear some balance on that as well. 01419511025. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, Kenny Miller is alongside him. We are doing a couple of things at once. Of course, building up to the Cyprus game tomorrow, asking all your thoughts, getting you to pick your team, your goalkeeper, all the name the full 11, is if you like. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And of course, reacting to the breaking news today is that Steve Clarke's been handed a new Scotland contract. There are games in the Championship tonight, so if you're a Queen's Park fan on the way to the game, I must say, if you're a Partick Thistle fan, you should probably be pretty close to Inverness by now, and I don't know if you'll be able to pick up the phone, but if anyone's staying at home, you can get in touch as well. Jim is on about the game tomorrow. What are you thinking, Jim?
I'm thinking it's going to be very unfair if he picks players that are not getting a regular game for their club in front of players that are getting a regular game for their club.
Like who?
McTominay, Tierney and Gilmore.
So you would leave Kieran Tierney out the Scotland team?
He's not playing for his club.
Oh, I know that. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just asking, just for clarity. You'd leave Kieran Tierney out?
Yes.
I don't think you can apply that kind of criterion, Jim. I'm sorry. You must go with top class acts like Kieran Tierney. I'm not sure about Billy Gilmore. He gets so little game time at Brighton that he comes into another category. You know, he's just not playing football.
Also depends what other options you have in that area. Don't you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, for Stevie Clarke to put them in the Scotland squad, that's it. Once you're in the squad, you are then in line to be chosen or put on the bench. But you're in the squad because Stevie Clarke believes that you have a contribution to make to the national team. So you simply cannot pick your team based on, oh, McTominay's not getting much game time at Old Trafford this season. You know, where do we draw the line? Do we say Liverpool have been absolutely rotten this season? Andy Robertson shouldn't play. You know, they're there because they are talented individuals. I would put a ring fence around Billy Gilmore and say he's had so little game time. I'm not sure. But you cannot deselect them because they're not playing week in, week out for the club.
I just wonder, Jim, if you can make it, can it really be, you know, such a sweeping statement like that? Because I think we'd all agree, we'd obviously much rather pick guys that are playing all the time. But quite simply, surely you can still be the best option for Scotland at the same time as not being the best option for your club, because they're just two different things.
But if they're not match fit, if they're not getting game time, they're obviously not match fit against players that are match fit. And I don't know who he has to play in their positions. I mean, Lewis Ferguson, I would play in front of McTominay, because Lewis Ferguson's smashing it in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, Kenny,
there's a perfect replacement for him.
Yeah, but again, that's there's more of a debate in that area. But take Tierney as the prime example. Can we ever afford to just say players who are not playing for their club don't play for the national team? Can we ever get to that stage?
I don't, and again, in Tierney, I don't think we can leave Kieran Tierney out. I think McTominay and Billy Gilmore are different conversations.
Because McGinn and Jack and McGregor, etc. are there.
Correct, and McTominay could play at the back, but you've also got Ryan Portras, who's went down to Watford now, made a step up, bigger league, tougher league, and actually started really, really well as well. So I would expect Tierney to be playing. McTominay might play. I wouldn't expect Billy Gilmore to be playing tomorrow, like Hugh says. They've just not seen enough. However, he wasn't playing when he played against England and went and got a man of the match performance. Alan Hutton was playing back in the day when he wasn't getting a game for Aston Villa and was still the same Alan Hutton that he always is. So there is exceptions to the rule, but I think it absolutely goes on what type of competition you've got in that position, yeah, as well. And I think in midfield we're pretty strong.
I think we also have to understand that Steve Clarke is not a naive man. He's been looking at him now over at Lesser Hampden for the week, and he knows who's ready and who's not ready and who's at a suitable stage of match fitness and who is not. So The man's got an extension to his contract. He now has to start proving that was the right decision. So it's on his head.
And is this the challenge, Kenny, of international football, right? Phone-ins in every country in the world. We'll have a similar conversation. Can you imagine Hugh Keevans in 15 different languages, right? But this notion of players in form or playing for their club, but weighed up against, well, you know, what have they done for the national team before? Because again, I get where Jim's coming from. I'd love it to be that you can just pick guys that are regularly playing for their club. But see, after this, we're going to go another couple of months. So what do you do then? Then by the time that one comes around, Tierney's back in the team, so you can pick him. But Shea Adams isn't, so he drops out. And then by the time the next one comes around, John McGinn's dropped out. Then if you're an international manager, you'll never be able to build continuity in your own team if you constantly react to what is happening at club football. Is it hard to find that balance? Did you find that when you were involved?
No, because I think it's exactly what you've said, is it's the whole package. Absolutely, Steve Clark. If you asked him right now on the show, would you rather your 25-man squad be playing every single week? Of course he would say yes. And then it gives them the headaches. When everybody turns up, they're ready, they want to play, they probably feel they should be playing. But what we've actually had over Steve's kind of time now, over the last couple of years now, we have had a bit of continuity within the team, within the shape. Yeah, we changed that a little bit over the last time, but it's like the lads know what's expected of them, and there's not too many changes. It's maybe two or three, and it might not be loss of form, it might be injury, or it might be the really, really good form of another player who's coming and says, you know what, I'm taking that jersey. And that, I think we've got really, really good competition within the squad, and the training I'm sure will be competitive as well. And like I said we've seen guys who have not been playing who have performed very, very well for the national team on big stages as well. So I think the majority of guys who will play will be playing. I think there'll be a lot of guys on the bench who are playing every week for their club as well. So the squad's in a good place. There's maybe two or three, maybe four guys who are maybe not getting as much game time as what Steve Clark would like, or the individual, by the way.
Is that not the challenge of it, Jim? Because I keep saying it, I get where you're coming from, but if you take Kieran Tierney, right, and you're Steve Clark, and let's just say that he's got the choice between Kieran Tierney, who's got 35 Scotland caps, knows his system inside out, knows what's expected, has played under him a number of times, but yes, isn't getting game time. Do you then just forget all of that and play Dominic Hyam from Blackburn because he's playing every week? You know, is that the only thing Steve Clark would consider, or would they try and take the full package into account?
I think you've got to take the full package. If he's not as match fit as the guy you said for Blackburn, mm-hmm. then you've got him sitting on the bench to bring on as an impact sub.
Well, if he's not match fit, he won't make much of an impact, will he?
That's my point. If he's not match fit,
I mean, I get, Kenny, you're the bon out of us three that certainly can answer this. Again, clearly, ideal world, you've got that perfect match fitness. Kieran Tierney's not going to be hobbling about the place, is he? Think, oh, I'm a bit rough. I've not played. It's not going to be that stage, is it?
It's no, because I think the intensity is, again, you've got to take it to his level. He's training and playing every single day at Arsenal.
Came on for Arsenal last week, by the way, and set up a goal.
And he does regularly, yeah.
The bottom line is, if you're playing every single week, you're in a better place, because you're in physically, you'll be ready. Mentally, you're in tune with the decisions and all the options that you're going to have. But you're also in a really, really good headspace because you're playing. You might not actually be in a great place because you're not playing and you're frustrated and you're maybe wondering where your next move is or where your career is going to be going, because you want to be playing every week. So absolutely, I would say players who are starting every single week are going to be a better option. But there's always the guy, like Kieran Tierney is an outstanding, potentially world-class left-back. We're not in a position where we can leave that level of player.
Management, club level or international level, is about complications. Mm. You never get a perfect week.
And that's it, it's idealism, isn't it, against what the situation you're in? Because if Jim's rule was to apply, you could be in a scenario where you change your starting 11 for Scotland. You make six changes every single game that comes around, and that wouldn't work.
And again, I go back to the point, we're talking about a vastly experienced football manager here in Steve Clark, who is perfectly well aware that Kieran Tierney doesn't play regularly for Arsenal, perfectly well aware that Scott McTominay's not getting game time as much as he would like at Old Trafford, perfectly well aware that Billy Gilmour can't get into the biggest team in England, but he has got to be shrewd enough to look at them all week long and think, yeah, they're fine.
Thanks, Jim. What do you think out there? 01419511025. Let's hear from Steve Clark on that new contract.
Credit to the players and my staff that get the results and the performances on the pitch that persuade my bosses to talk me into signing another 2 years onto the contract. It's always nice when your work is recognised. We can all be moving forward together. To me, there seems like continual improvement, and I think we've improved a lot from when I first came into now. The difficult bit now is the next improvements are very difficult to make. All the small details are going to add up as to whether we can be really competitive and start qualifying for tournaments. I don't want to go to Germany 2024 and not go 2026. And looking ahead, 28, 30, 32, you want Scotland to be qualifying. I won't be here, by the way, when it gets that long. But you want the future to look good. You want to be competitive all the time and go into every qualifying campaign thinking, you know what, we've got a chance to qualify. That's what we want.
Something your team's never had the benefit of, Kenny. The Nations League wasn't around, and that's probably where Stevie Clark's built up most of his goodwill, because it's back-to-back promotions in it. So we're now guaranteed a playoff, just to remind everyone in case they've forgotten about how that complex system works. So we go into this group now, starting tomorrow against Cyprus, but no matter where we finish in that group, we've got a playoff place to fall back on because of how well we did in the Nations League. Would that change your mentality at all as a player going into a campaign?
It can't, and Steve can't allow it to be that way, because you don't want to be going into that playoff in a year's time on the back of really, really poor form, where you go through a group, 8 games, and you've won a couple and you've lost 5 and got a draw. You want to be going in good form. Again, it's stating
the obvious. Any of the pressure off though?
No, it can't, because Steve's talking about progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we don't win tomorrow, then you go, we've taken backward steps because we can't even beat Cyprus at home. You can't allow that to kind of fall into the group, because it's a strong group. I really, really like the look of the players. I like the levels that they're playing at. Yes, everybody's not playing all the time, but the guys that aren't are top players. This is a chance for us to go and just build a bit of momentum going into that playoff, or, God forbid, can we actually make it straight away without having to go through the playoffs, which would be great, and it would make a lot of people's hearts a lot easier come next kind of next May, next April.
Yeah, because I mean, the last playoff we won, it was Hugh Keevan's birthday, and he was a few glasses of red wine deep and phoned this show. So we want to try and make it a bit more straightforward than that. We don't want to repeat.
But I'm like Steve Clark. I've improved since then.
As good as it was, right? 01419511025. Perfect time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here. Hugh Keevan says alongside him, I said it before, one of them has scored against Cyprus in a Scotland jersey. So get your answers in, please, at Clyde SSB, and keep the calls flowing. 01419511025. Chris is next up from Govan. How are you, Chris?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right.
Good man.
As I said, but before I go on my point, Kenny Miller's best goal for Scotland was against England. That's my personal opinion.
Fair enough. I think Cyprus has got the edge, but I take it was at Wembley. You're going to hang on to those ones. I don't mind that at all.
Yes.
It's a nice choice to have, isn't it, Chris?
Can Kenny Miller play tomorrow? My main point is. Tomorrow we're playing Cyprus. Surely we've got to go 2 strikers up front and actually try and get a decent result, 3 or 4. Surely we can't be going and hoping to hold on for a 1-0 or a 2-1 or something like that. Because we've got Spain on Tuesday. We've got to surely be hoping we can get 4 points to start out of 6. Because we've got Georgia, we've got Cyprus, we've got Spain, we've got Norway. We've got to be getting second place in that section, surely.
Do you know how I'd answer your question straight away, Chris? John McGinn, not what you would understand to be a conventional striker, has got 15 goals for Scotland. That's half the total held by your record goal scorer, jointly, Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law, 30 international goals. John McGinn has 50% of that total. By not playing 2 strikers, 2 conventional strikers up front, you are not volunteering to half your chances of scoring goals. You are doing what you're best at. And McGinn with 15 goals proves the point that you don't have to be an out-and-out striker. He's halfway towards the Scotland record, Chris.
Stuart, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, well, why can't we go two strikers, play John McGinn as an attacking midfielder, play Billy Gilmore, we maybe Lewis Ferguson in the middle for a bit of youth, with Callum McGregor playing in the deeper role like he does for Celtic. You've got John McGinn, you would put Che Adams up, and then whether you go, you know, Ryan Christie, Jacob Brown, or Lyndon Dykes, whoever Steve Clark chooses to pick, that's his decision, then we go for it and we try and get a decent result. I'm not saying don't play John McGinn. I'm saying go two strikers and play McGinn in behind.
Yeah, I think there's a breakdown in communication because Hugh's not accusing you of saying don't play John McGinn. To consult our expert in the striking department, Kenny, I think this is all about this notion. We hear it with club football as well that, you know, two strikers means more goals. I think that's where a lot of people sometimes come from. And it's not always as easy as that, is it?
No, it's not as easy as that. And I think Hugh's right. I mean, the point he's making there is we've actually got midfielders, attacking midfielders in this team that are very, very good players that have been deployed in a system that's worked for a long time under Steve Clark. You've got Ryan Christie's got the same amount of goals as Shea Adams. Stuart Armstrong's no too far behind as well. Even like James Forrest, who has been in the squad, he's got the same amount of goals as well. So it doesn't guarantee you goals by playing two strikers. I think we've got a way. By the way, we have done when played. We've played Shea Adams and Dykes up front, and sometimes it's kind of worked. Sometimes it's not so much. But I think with the way that Steve's deployed that midfield three or four, if you want to call it that, with McGinn just kind of up near a striker, and sometimes Armstrong or Christie and that, maybe if you want to call it two tens in behind the striker, it's really, really attacking because you've got great energy for McGinns and Armstrongs and Christies who can go beyond and link up with the striker. And then when you've got these wing backs playing that we've got, you've got Robertson, you've got Patterson or Hickey or even Tierney if he's out there overlapping for left side centre back, we've got an attacking team. We don't need two strikers to pose more of a goal threat.
And is it also an acknowledgement that, with all due respect to the strikers, the midfield department is stronger, so if you can then fit more of them in, if you like, you know, John McGinn playing up close to Shea Adams is good because it gets a lot out of John McGinn, but also leaves then a space behind him, and that way you can play McGregor or McTominay or Jack or Gilmore or whoever.
But football management's about getting your best players in the team and getting them into positions that they are best at. Yep. John McGinn playing in that more advanced role, and again, it's not all this question's not all about John McGinn, but what it allows him to do is use his strengths, which is his energy, his enthusiasm, his goal threat, his hunger to get in that box and score goals and link up with a striker. He's got energy to burn, so he can also get back and do his defensive shift as well. So there's a lot of feeds in it. Listen, sometimes Steve's went the two up front. I've said that before. I don't think it is. It gets all our best players. Like you say, we've got a lot of good midfielders in that area, some of them really good attacking midfielders. I think the system that it has deployed quite a lot since he's been the manager has been a successful one, and it plays to the strengths of the players that we've got.
How important is John McGinn to this team, Hugh? You mentioned the 15 goal tally. Incidentally, he scored the winner the last time we played Cyprus away. He's obviously scored a number of important goals, as Kenny references. He operates different for Scotland. I always look on Twitter and the Villa fans are always, who's this goal machine version?
McGinn is as important to Scotland as Andy Robertson is, as important to Scotland as Kieran Tierney is. He just is one of the names that you write down first because he's earned the right. And as I say, if you're halfway towards Dennis Law and Kenny Dalglish's record number of goals, then yes, you are the man who has to be picked.
Chris, you mentioned the name there, and you're the second person to bring it up. And I do wonder as well: are we close at least to seeing Lewis Ferguson start a game like this?
I would love to see Lewis Ferguson. When he was at Aberdeen, I'm surprised he didn't get as many like starts as he did. And what I mean is, we're playing Spain on Tuesday. We've got to have our strongest team out for Spain. That's a definite. Cyprus is one of these games we should be expected to win. I think Lewis Ferguson in there with Billy Gilmore would give you a wee bit of dig and a wee bit of creativity. Callum McGregor, as I said, in the deeper role, he can control the game that way, and then he can control the team. The only selection, if Steve Clark picks, and I'll go against him, is if he picks Kieran Tierney. You should not be playing for your national team if you cannot play for your club team regularly. That's just my standard rule.
But you've just said you want Billy Gilmore on the team. When did he last play for Brighton?
Because Billy Gilmore's always turned up for Scotland.
No, you can't have it both ways. You can't. If Tierney is left out because he doesn't play regularly for Arsenal, then Gilmore doesn't get a look in because, you know, that he's just
that's,
not.
Because that's his rule. It was a non-negotiable rule from. And by the way, how many good games for Scotland Kieran Tierney had?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't see where Chris is coming from here. But where I do agree with him, I'd be highly intrigued to see Lewis Ferguson, because I always commend players who go to another country, assimilate themselves into the culture, the football, and everything about the way of life there. And he's got 4 goals for Bologna so far this season. That's that might not sound like a lot, but it shows to me that he has adapted to Serie A and adapted to life in Bologna. And I'd be very interested to see what Italian football has done to change him, if at all.
Has he got a chance, Kenny? Or more of a chance now than ever?
I know, yeah, definitely. He's more of a chance now. His issue is you've got so many strong options. We've said it. I mean, I think Jack will play. I think he could get the nod in there alongside Cal McGregor. Chris has already said about Gilmore. You've got McTominay in there as well. You've got guys like Christie, who, again, I don't think he might play alongside McGinn behind the striker. There's so many options.
Let's try and narrow a couple, right? So middle to front, who are the absolute nailed on? Callum McGregor?
Yep.
Callum McGregor, guaranteed. John McGinn, Shea
and
Adams.
Shea Adams. They're the only three that you'd say are nailed on.
Yeah.
And then round about them,
it could be Jack, it could be McTominay, it could be Gilmore next to McGregor.
Yeah.
Next to McGinn, or it could be Christie, it could be Ferguson.
Armstrong.
By the way, McLean. You're Dykes. So Kenny McLean as well. You could have Dykes. I don't think he'll play 2 strikers. I don't think he will. I think he'll go with these 4 midfielders, 2 kind of more deeper, or even 3 sometimes, and allowing John McGinn to be that second striker. So I think there's so many options, but I think he's got to be at the time where he's going to be getting a little bit more meaningful game time. And there's no many players, Scottish players, playing at that level as well. So he's playing at a very, very good level, and like you say, he's doing really, really well. So he's going to find himself closer, and it might just be in Steve's mind, you know what, maybe it's time he does get a bit more meaningful game time to show if he's capable of playing at the level.
You agree with that, Hugh? Are those the only 3 nailed on? Middle to front, McGregor, Adams and McGinn.
Yep. I mean, I always believe that if you're in Callum McGregor's position, and tomorrow is his 50th cap for Scotland, I always believe that's good for your head. Not that he needs any help in that department, because he's an outstanding player on a consistent level for Celtic and for Scotland. So he's nailed on. Adam, for sure. And
McGinn,
because McGinn is almost iconic now for the Scotland fans. Not just because of the size of his derriere, but, you know, he's a top class player and adapts to international football as well as he plays club football.
Thank you to Chris on the line. Keep those calls coming.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You two have been in this position before.
Oh.
This is the decider. It's 2-2 this week. 2 victories for the listeners. They both came from brothers from Paisley. So the 2 victories have been under the same roof. I don't even know if they live together, but it just sounds
good. Let's not take their call tonight,
we'll leave them out. So the Paisley brothers have got 2 victories for the listeners this week, 2 victories for the pundits. It all comes down to tonight. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7 o'clock. Be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB as well, if you want to have your say, as you would expect on the eve of a big international. We are previewing Scotland against Cyprus. We've had a bit of a healthy debate on who should play and who shouldn't. There's a lot of strong opinions getting thrown around about big players being left out because they're not playing for their club teams. Of course, the goalkeeping debate has just raged on all week, hasn't it? And we'll finally find out the answer at tomorrow lunchtime. So if you've got any more on those topics, or you want to change the subject, 0141 951 1025, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Kenny Miller, Hugh Keevans, primed and ready. This is big. I mean, that's the Euro qualifier, blah, blah, blah. Plenty of time to make up for it if it doesn't go right tomorrow. Yeah. But tonight, there is no room for you to. A victory for the listeners tonight wins the week. Can you handle that pressure? I feel like you've been here before on a Friday.
Kenny's used to pressure. I should bow to him, let him play.
No, you don't get the choice. Tony is in Motherwell. How's it going, Tony?
Not too bad, yourself.
Tony, what an incentive to come on here and win the week for the listeners as well as your signed ball.
No, I'll take it. I'll take your signed ball.
Well, you get both. Listen, it's not one or the other. Don't worry about that. I must admit, it's been a classic week on Beat the Pundit. If you've not had the chance, go back and listen to the podcasts Tuesday and Wednesday. The brothers from Paisley, right? We didn't know that the second night it was going to be the brother. They're worth listening to, right? They're interesting characters, and they both won. So let's see how we go tonight. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's Kenny Miller. It's heads, Hugh Keevans against Tony from Motherwell. So what we do here is give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to, which I'm sure will be right up his street. 30 seconds on the clock, Tony. Answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that's fine by me, okay?
Yep.
Let's go then. 30 seconds starting now. Alan McGregor rejoined Rangers from which English Championship club?
Oh.
Name either of Celtic's goal scorers in the Champions League groups this season.
Pass.
Which top flight player has got the most yellow cards in Scotland this season?
Murrell.
Who's got more appearances for Scotland, Davy Weir or Christian Daly?
Christian Daly.
Who's the only Rangers player to score on international duty yesterday?
I haven't a clue.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
I'm both.
Okay, let's bring in Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
You ready?
I am.
Same set of questions, let's do it. Alan McGregor rejoined Rangers from which English Championship club?
Hull.
Name either of Celtic's goal scorers in the Champions League group stages this season.
Dyson Maeda.
Which top flight player has received the most yellow cards in Scotland this season?
Considine.
Who made the most appearances for Scotland, Davy Weir or Christian Daly?
Daly.
Name the only Rangers player to score on international duty yesterday.
Pass.
Who is bottom of the Scottish Championship? Quick.
Arbroath.
Okay, Tony, how do you think that went?
Not too good.
That's not the assessment you're looking for. See if Steve Clark sits in that press room tomorrow afternoon and says not too good, the weekend will be ruined. So you both got off to a good start.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the positives end. So Alan McGregor rejoined Rangers from
Hull.
So you both got it, one all. Name either of Celtic's scorers in the Champions League groups this season. Giakoumakis and a Jota free kick against Real Madrid, wasn't it? None of you got it. Right. So it was one all. The top flight player with the most bookings in the Premiership this season. Now, it might be tough, but it's been mentioned a bit in the last week, if that helps.
Callum Slattery.
Callum Slattery, Tony, you know it now.
I know, I went with the team rather than the player.
I know, Tony said Motherwell, and that's an unfortunate one, but it's still one all. I mean, you both had a 50-50 shout here at Christian Daly or Davy Weir, and you both got it wrong. You both went Christian Daly. There's only two in it, to be fair. Didn't know you and Davy Weir, same amount of Scotland caps.
Bang on, yep.
Did you know that? 69. Yep. Daly's got 67, so it's one all. Ain't a classic.
No.
The only Rangers player to score on international duty yesterday? You don't know?
I would detect. I guess it's Sakala.
It is Sakala. He did. Scored for Zambia in a 3-1 win. Didn't watch it?
No.
And bottom of the Championship, you both said Arbroath, and you're both wrong. It's the Ackies on goal difference. They've got the same points.
This is the scruffiest match of the century.
Oh dearie me. It means we're going to a tiebreaker, not only to decide tonight, but to decide the week as well. Are you ready for this, Tony?
There you go.
Right, I'm going to read the question. I'll get Hugh to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Go for it.
Let's go. Scotland have had 6 Euro qualifying campaigns this century. How many points in total have they received in those 6 campaigns? We need something to separate you. So six Euro qualifying campaigns this century. How many points if you add them all together? Hugh Keevans. Tony, what are you going for?
60.
Hugh Keevans, I know we're bad, right? But would you like to tell the nation six campaigns?
Uh-huh.
As so, like, how many have you written down?
21.
You think we average between 3 and 4 points in an entire campaign?
Don't big up your part here, just tell me.
Well, put it this way, if I told you that Tony was 37 out but is still closer than you, you would have the right idea. It's 97 points. What, that, what have you got? Kenny wrote 98. Good effort. Well done, Tony. The sign ball is on its way to Motherwell and you've won it.
You're actually a shame taking that victory.
No, listen, they all count, Tony. Don't say that. He's gone, he's away. Well done to Tony and Motherwell. The sign ball's on its way. And it's a victory this week for the listeners. 3-2. Well done. I am happy with that.
See, I'm leaving the city tomorrow, as you know. So,
so you've just switched off already.
I'm moving out. I can't live with the shame.
You think of the negativity we've had this century. Can you imagine we had only 21 points over six campaigns? Then you'd need to leave the city regularly. It was all going so well because I think this is a compliment. In like super scoreboard speak, this is a compliment. Sean tweeted to say, "What is going on at Clyde SSB? Hugh Keevans is talking sense and silencing the callers." So up to beat the pundit, you were on one. You were having a good night.
That's just a game.
Anyway, 98 from you, Kenny Miller. That was close. That was close. How many of those campaigns were you involved in? The 04, 08, 12 and 16. Right. Four of them. 24 points in 08, by the way. Incidentally, but there we go.
Yeah, that would have been the Italy, the Ukraine and the France one, was that right?
Actually, for some reason, subjected myself to highlights of the Georgia game today as well. No, not that one. The one that went well. Craig Beattie. Craig Beattie winner. You're all over him like a madman climbing on his back.
Big
for
goal.
It was huge.
Big goal.
It was at the time,
big
certainly.
Boy, did he got the opener?
He did. Craig Beattie off the bench. So we're back in there with the Georgians in the group again this time. Cyprus, we'll face them a couple of times as well. Norway, you'll play them a number of times, surely.
Yep, a couple.
Was that McFadden handball on the line? No, I made that up entirely. Who handballed it on the line and got sent off? You know, one of them when you save it.
Yep, can't remember.
The goalkeeper. Anyway, never mind. Going trip down memory lane when we don't need to. 0141951 at 1025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear a bit more from some of the people who will be involved tomorrow. Stevie Clark, chief among them, after that new contract. Keep them coming, by the way. Your calls on the contract as well as the game tomorrow. This is a bit actually about the week. It's been thrown into the spotlight. I never thought we'd argue about training pitch surfaces and what's better. So he's had his say on this sort of move, if you like, or the criticism that Orium got from John Carver, now training at Lesser Hamden.
First of all, I think this was the point John was trying to make, was how good it felt to be in the facilities at Lesser Hamden, because they're really top class, and obviously we're the first group to get on that pitch and train on it, and they've invested a lot of money in it, and I love John to bits. In his own way, he was trying to put across how good the facility was. Now, it might have come across a little bit negative going the other way, but that's not fair, because Orion was good to us. I've got some really good memories of working there, and it's just a matter of investment. It can happen. And the reason Graham Jones and myself first started looking for a different facility was we couldn't get the hotel booked with the required number of rooms for this camp and the June camp. So we looked. Queen's Park made a fantastic offer to us, and we're happy to be there.
Somebody from the training facility in Edinburgh has called Ian Maxwell at the SFA and said, "I would suggest that you backpedal on what has been said about our facility very quickly, or something will happen." And that's why the national team manager has come out and delivered the speech that he's just delivered there. So, in other words, John Carver has been put in his place.
No, it's funny because Steve Clark might well agree, Kenny, but in terms of the public-facing bit of it, I love a good understatement where Steve Clark said that John Carver, it might have come across a wee bit negative. He said it was a health hazard and it was a surprise that no one had been injured on it. If that's a wee bit negative. But yeah, look, as Hugh says, there's clearly an effort there to acknowledge that they may have to go back to Oriam at some point, or that there's a contractual situation there. And
I mean, I don't want to go all legalistic on this, but I mean, it's defamatory.
Yeah, I don't think you can defame a sports centre, but I get what you mean.
If you say it's a health hazard, I think you've gone too far.
Oh no, listen, I agree that it's sensitive, but I like to repeat, I don't think you can defame sports centres. But Kenny, I mean, you've seen it all. Where were your venues? Did it pay much attention? Did it make a difference?
Well, listen, who knows? Because we don't know what we'd have had if we had a better venue. You know, we've trained trained at Dumbarton a lot of times. We trained at St Mirren when they had their new stadium.
Were you in the Mar Hall era?
Nah, I just missed that. I'd start it.
That kind of Strachanism,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, just the start, yeah.
My favourite bit from John Carver's press conference yesterday was when he was referring to the flats that overlook Lesser Hampden and the possibility of someone going in there and spying on the Scotland team. So I had this notion of the man, "Hello, my name is Miguel. May I come in here and spy on your Scottish team?"
You missed it last night. We had a caller on. Josh phoned and says, I took a wee trip down. I watched Scotland training yesterday, and it looks like Angus Gunn will play.
Don't give the game plan away.
And he said, we're playing three at the back as well. So there we are. That was a bit of a sideshow this week, I think. And if we go and win 5-0 tomorrow, we can race back to Lesser Hampden and train there in the future, I'm sure of it. Let's bring in Joe, who's on the line. How are you, Joe?
Hi, all good. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. What are you thinking about tomorrow then? What's on your mind?
About Kieran Tierney, that's starting for Scotland. I don't think it should be starting. We're not starting for teams or clubs. And I think it's a privilege to play for your country. So I think they should be starting for clubs. The boys that are starting for a team should be playing ahead of them.
Yeah, we've had a few calls like this, Joe. So let me cut straight to it. Is that your blanket rule? Under all circumstances, you should only play for Scotland if you're getting regular game time for your club?
Yeah, because other countries, like better countries that are doing better, like other countries that are higher up in the ranks, they're not calling up players that are not getting games for our clubs.
Can I suggest, so again, to clarify, you think every country should only call up players, should only play players that play for their club?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, also, Kieran Tierney and Billy Gilmore probably a couple of the best players Scotland's got, but I don't think they should be playing because I'm not playing for other clubs.
What's the Welsh equivalent of this show, Hugh Keevans? Is there one?
Well, there will be.
I've just got visions of 18 months ago someone phoning in and saying, "No, don't care, blanket rule, Gareth Bale must not play for Wales because he's not getting a game for Real Madrid." Now, I know that Kieran Tierney is not Gareth Bale, but you would take my point. It's either a blanket rule or it's not. You can't have it both ways, as you said earlier.
If we take this to its logical extreme, you then say Kieran Tierney shouldn't even be in the Scotland squad because he's not playing every week for Arsenal, and Billy Gilmour shouldn't be in the Scotland squad, and Scott McTominay shouldn't be in the Scotland squad because they're not playing regularly. That's simply not feasible. It's not logical. And I go back to the other fundamental point. Steve Clarke is a vastly experienced football manager at club and international level now. He will assess the players based on what he sees at Lesser Hampden and not base his judgment on what's been happening in London or in Brighton or in Manchester in weeks gone by. He will assess them because they're his players to assess now. They're with the national team, assessed by him, and Tierney will start because Tierney is a terrific player.
Is the main question really, Joe, for Stevie Clarke not, does he have a better option than Kieran Tierney? Does he? That needs to be the question, doesn't it?
No, he don't. He's not playing. He's not playing week in, week out. You're wanting players that are fully fit, match with awareness. He's no, but he's match awareness. He's no playing.
But that's fine. But by your own admission, you've just admitted then you want to start someone who is not as good an option as Kieran Tierney. For what purpose?
See the difference about it, but the boys are playing for their country. They're going to give you 100%. It doesn't matter if he's a better player or no. The boys still going to give you 100%. It's 11 boys
in the park. It does matter if he's a better player or not. The manager's under obligation to pick the strongest 11, the best players at his disposal. And Kieran Tierney will walk into that team tomorrow. Walk.
Kenny?
Listen, he's got to play. He's one of our outstanding players. I mean, one of a number of our outstanding players that have to play. Again, it would be the same. I mean, you touched on John McGinn. John McGinn's no scoring goals for Aston Villa. All the Aston Villa fans are saying, where is this goal
machine? He was out the team, actually, for a bit.
But John McGinn's going to play, you know. And it's the same with McTominay. McTominay might play tomorrow, even though he's not playing at Man United. Again, I don't think he will.
But that's because of the options, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's not because he's not playing at Man United. It's because we have a lot of options in midfield. And at this moment in time, they might be, based on what Joe's saying, because they are playing, they might be better options. But if McTominay was playing for Man United, McTominay would be playing. So I just think there's it can't be a blanket rule. Again, does that mean they go out the squad if they're not playing? So they're not playing, so there's no chance of starting for Scotland, so there's no point in bringing them up to Scotland for the internationals.
I think it's also fundamentally untrue. Calvin Phillips and Harry Maguire started for England last night. They won away in Italy. Paul McManus sent a tweet to that along those lines. I mentioned Calvin Phillips to you guys at the break. It's just not, for me, it feels like you can split this into looking at it in two separate ways. Firstly, are these guys, are you picking your best players? Who are your best options on the day? But secondly, how sustainable is it? Because like I said, if you were to introduce this random rule, what happens if you've got, say we had another international in 6 weeks, but by that time half the team has dropped out of favour at their club, and all of a sudden Tierney and Gilmore and the likes are back in? Do you just keep doing it? Do you just keep chopping and changing? And only, you couldn't do that, could you?
No, of course not. What Joe is advocating is that you knowingly play someone who's not as good as Kieran Tierney. Now, what manager worthy of the name is going to knowingly not play Kieran Tierney because he's only on the bench at Arsenal most weeks now? That simply will not and should not happen.
And by the way, Kenny, there might be this very small outside chance that's, because this has become all about Kieran Tierney for some reason. If there's some particular reason, Stevie Clark might feel that training hasn't gone brilliantly this week, or he's picked up some sort of niggle, or he does want to stick to a more conventional back four, and he might play Andy Robertson. But it still doesn't mean that you put this blanket ban in on players who don't feature for their club sides.
I think the only way in Kieran Tierney doesn't play is if they play the back four. And by the way, Scotland have played a back four, and Kieran Tierney has played in every single position along it, because that's how good he is. He's played at right back, he's played left centre back, he's played left centre back in the three, he's played left back. Like, you've got to get your best players in the team. And what Steve's done really, really well over the years, I feel, is find a way to get the team playing, to get his best players in the team in a system that suits the abilities of those players.
We'll agree to disagree, Joe. Thank you. 01419511025. We'll get a teaser for the guys up and running next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we are up and running with various debates ahead of tomorrow's game against Cyprus. Let me give you a full time teaser for tonight, and you can team up on this. I love it from Russell. It's so topical, and it's tough, but it's doable. With a new goalkeeper guaranteed to start tomorrow, told you it was topical, can you name the last 10 goalkeepers to keep a clean sheet for Scotland? Can you name the last 10 goalkeepers to keep a clean sheet for Scotland? Hugh Keevans.
Craig Gordon.
A 0-0 against Ukraine in September last year. Well,
David Marshall.
0-0 against England. That's not
Look at you jumping and getting the easy one. McGregor.
That's not a bad one to round it off, is it? David Marshall's was at Wembley. Alan McGregor's, yes. A 4-0 against Albania. Take one more guess. Ah, you were all confident with those three,
yeah,
weren't
you? Of course you were. Bang has been the last 20 years goalkeeper.
What about thereafter?
Gorham?
No.
Leighton?
No. Which makes life really tough for you, because you've now discovered that they're all since then. But if you're thinking, my goodness, if it's not Gorham and it's not Leighton, and it's not
Gun?
Gordon Marshall or
Gunn?
No. It's more recently.
Oh, more recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this will be good. This will be good. I thought you'd have at least
Douglas?
Thrown me one or two. Yes, Rab Douglas against the Netherlands. Remember that? 2003. Rab, I'm not sure I could have told you who played in goal that night. Anyway, well done that day. Rab Douglas, four down, six to get. We'll get them before the end. I think.
Maybe.
And that was Russell on the full-time teaser. He sent it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Brian has sent me a picture. Friday night football, Falkirk against Kelty Hearts. Brian is at three terrific games in the championship as well. Hugh, Ayr United against Cove, Inverness against Thistle, and Queen's Park against Arbroath. So three fixtures, six teams, all with different priorities in there.
Chris Doan still undefeated as the Partick Thistle manager. Three wins, three draws. But that's a real test of him tonight. And with Dundee winning midweek, no margin for error when Queen's Park take the field at, who are they playing tonight?
Arbroath.
Yeah, who ought to have been bottom of the table. And why aren't they bottom of the table? Or I might have won beat the pundit.
Exactly.
So yeah, games of definite meaning.
That's a nice weekend that as well, Kenny, isn't it? Get your Friday night football in. You get the international weekend off. It's a terrible weekend if you lose.
Yep. Or you can go out and drown your sorrows. And if you win, you can go out
exactly,
and celebrate.
Exactly. But as Hugh says, I mean, so Queen's Park, I mean, it's first against ninth, and if football was played on paper, they would win that, and they would potentially stretch their advantage. Well, they certainly will over Dundee, because Dundee aren't playing tonight. But you look at Ayr and Thistle, very much in the hunt for the playoffs as well. Inverness have got a Scottish Cup semi-final to look forward to, despite being seventh. And Cove could very much get dragged down the way, only 1 point off bottom. So those are three massive games tonight.
It's a big night, it really is, for at the top of the table for the title, at the bottom for relegation as well. So, and it's a chance when teams are not playing that you can go and, I mean, Queen's Park can go stretch it, and all of a sudden it looks maybe a big gap. Even psychologically for Dundee, it would be a tough one for them tonight if Queen's Park go and win.
Fun thing about Partick Thistle, Chris Doolan, scorer of over 100 goals for the club as a player, and as manager, very rarely loses goals. Defensively,
yeah,
Thistle are very strong since Chris succeeded Ian McCall. So it's a long old journey on a Friday night, and a Friday night like this to Inverness. But if he comes back from there with no harm done, then they're banging it for the playoffs.
And the Palmerston Pep, he's on his travels tonight. Marvin Bartley's Queen of the South away at FC Edinburgh. Jim Duffy's in action as well against Airdrie. So it's the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits, a busy Friday night.
Yeah, Airdrie terrific in terms of scoring goals. It'll be a long night for Duff Fife here.
Well, he'll be happy that you said that, because your predictions are not,
you'll win 3, haven't you?
Not ideal. Let's bring in Robbie, who's on the line. How are you, Robbie?
Not too bad, guys. Just like to say good evening to the panel.
Thank you. Hi, same Robbie. To you. What are you thinking tonight then?
I've heard a lot of the calls tonight, and a lot of folk are just no grasping, lack of game time. If you're not getting a game with your club, then you shouldn't be getting a game with Scotland. It doesn't work like that. Kenny and Hugh have covered a wee bit, but I'd like to cover it even more. See, at the end of the day, see Steve Clark, he'll be taking everything on board. How good the player is, number one. How often they've been playing for their club, number two. How, and most importantly, how good they've recently been playing for Scotland. So, like, say, example, Kieran Tierney, right? Hasn't he been playing a lot for Arsenal at all this season? The odd sub appearances in the cup game he comes on, right? See, at the end of the day, he's got to be fit. That's the main thing. And Stevie Clark's been seeing them all week in training. And that's another big thing. He's maybe not been playing for Arsenal every week, but let's say he's looking absolutely, he's touching, and the way he's going in for tackles, he's timing right across the board is perfect this week. Why you not play him? At the end of the day, it sounds good on paper. Another thing is, Kenny will agree with me here, it's all down to the international manager as well. You know, there might be another international manager who puts a wee bit more emphasis on you need to get more game time for your club. If it was Stevie Clark's, maybe a wee bit different for another international manager. What needs to be looked at here is right across the board. The bottom line is Kieran Tierney in the past has, and Scott McTominay and whoever else you want to say, the young boy Gilmore's an exception, because what's he done with Scotland? He came in the Euros, he had two or three good games, and he's played some games. So at the end of the day, sort of day with age, you can't leave a guy like Kieran Tierney with the amount of experience he's got, the age, what is he, 26 now, 27? The young boy Gilmore, it's just that wee bit a different board. He's not really kicked himself into a Scotland regular quite yet, yeah. Not a fully established one. So at the end of the day, you've got to look across the board and balance things out right across the board. So at the end of the day, Steve Clark can be seeing Kieran Tierney or anybody else who has not been playing for their club on a regular basis, and Steve Clark might say to himself, in training this week, they didn't look any different for when they've been playing every week for their club.
Not a hugely important contradiction, but he's 25, just in case anyone is keeping count.
By virtue of signing an extension to his contract and the SFA having made that a public matter the day before we play Cyprus, Steve Clark is now under renewed scrutiny. Nothing to do with the Euros now. It's all about the future. His contract is to see us through this qualification campaign and the one that leads to the World Cup in 2026. So is Steve Clark really going to pick a team based on anything other than who are my best players? This is a false argument that has grown up since 6 o'clock here, that somehow if you're not playing week in, week out for your club, you shouldn't be there. You literally shouldn't be there. Steve Clark, no sentimentality, nothing other than I have to get results, starting with Cyprus, because if I am pointless, heaven forbid, on Wednesday morning after I have played Cyprus and Spain, people will say, why did he get an extension to his contract? Why did you do that before this competition had even begun? Isn't it more regular to wait until the competition is over, see how you've done, and then decide whether or not the manager should get an extension? So that's where Stevie Clark is as of 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Therefore, the team will be picked on Steve Clark's belief that these are the 11 best starting players for the job that needs to be done.
Bang on, that's it. And Robbie said it. It'll be based on how all the things, how they're playing, how they turn up, what they've done for Scotland. Again, I mean, there might be a player, again, whoever it is, the 23, 24 man squad, who turns up this week and just trains like an absolute demon and puts himself into the frame to start. Someone who none of us might have thought would have started. Someone who might be playing, might not be playing for their club, but they might have turned up and they might have just said, look, I'm ready to play. And there might be a wee place or two up for grabs in Steve's team, and he might think, you know what? The way he's played and performed and trained this week, he's playing.
Because, Rob acknowledged that maybe there are international managers who are much more likely to lean on who's playing regularly for their team. And I'm sure there will be some examples, but it does seem, Kenny, like that a real obvious way to try and aim for international success is to go for consistency and continuity. Not at all costs. Doesn't mean you only ever keep the same players, but there was a time when every time our squad was announced, I don't know if people have seen the bit of paper you get. Who's seen it when you go to the press conference? It's got the name and the number of caps, and you were looking along and seeing 3, 2, 5, 0, 0, 7. There becomes a point where you need to at least try and keep a group together, try and instill your methods within them, and try and give them time to flourish under that. So now we're actually in a situation where this squad's getting quite experience together. Andy Robertson, 60 caps. Grant Hanley, 46. Tierney, 35. McGinn, 52. McGregor, 49. Armstrong, 40. McTominay's banging on the door of 40. Christie's well in the 30s. Dykes and Adams are now in the mid-20s. So you need to try and do that, don't you? You cannot just keep ripping it up every 6 weeks because this guy's come in or out of his club team.
And you know what? And it goes for Steve Clark, the manager, as well. That's why Hugh touched on at the top of the show. Continuity, a bit of stability run about the group. The players have had it now for a number of years. Like you say, there's always going to be guys who force their way into the squad. Lewis Ferguson, he's been doing it now. He's been banging on the door for a number of years. He's been doing it year in, year out for Aberdeen. He's now then shown he can go away to a top, top league in Europe and still perform to these levels. Away from all his comfort zones, he's been back here at home, and he'll be knocking on that door. So someone will always force their way in. Billy Gilmore bust the door down, coming through as an 18-year-old kid who had to get involved in the squad. But the majority of boys, like you say now, they have came through in a really, like, it's been a really exciting journey they've been on together. They've made the Euros, they've ended that long wait for a major finals, and now they're looking to build towards the next one. And like you say, they've went through really good experiences. some no nice experiences, obviously falling down in Ukraine, and they've grown together, and Steve Clarke's been at the helm of that. So that's why him signing his contract all adds to that stability with the backroom team and with these this group of players. And hopefully, listen, it moves forward and we get the right results.
Like Hugh says, this has somehow become the real theme of the night. I guess that's the beauty of the phone in, and it takes a direction of its own. But just out of curiosity, were there ever times where you weren't starting regularly for your club? Never. You were just always nailed on.
Normally, listen, normally, again, if it was fortunate, I was normally playing the majority of the time. Again, I can't think of any time where I thought, oh, my placement might be up for grabs here based on not being playing. So, no.
But would you you'd have been disappointed then if you've gone 6 weeks, 8 weeks out, your club team, you rock up to Scotland and Walter Smith or Alex McLeish or whoever basically sort of ignores some of the body of work you've done in the Scotland jersey before?
Of course you would have. And you know, and that's where it comes, that's where Robbie's point comes in. When you've built a relationship, and again, as a manager, you've got a trust in a group of players, and I'm sure Steve and all the previous managers say they trust them all, that's why they're picked. But like you say, some people perform to a level, and the levels of consistency have been there for a number of games for you. It's very, very impossible to leave these guys out, even if they're playing or they're not playing. It doesn't really matter. They've performed when it matters for the country, and they've put big performances in. So again, Kieran Tierney falls into that bracket for sure.
They get a victory tomorrow, Robbie?
Yeah, I think so. I think I can speak on behalf of Hugh and Kenny here that over the last two or three years, we're not a dire team. We're getting half empty stadiums, and you know, we're just pretty much average or to below average. We're actually a good team, and I wouldn't be surprised. Again, I think Kenny and Hugh wouldn't be surprised either if we got some sort of result against even Spain. If we really, really click and put everything together, we can be a top team. We can.
Certainly hope so. Let's deal with them on Tuesday. Well, let's get this one out of the way first, Hugh Keevans.
I remember sitting down to watch Scotland play the Republic of Ireland in Dublin and hoping.
Oh, that was a low
expecting.
Point. Yeah.
That was just a shocker.
Luckily, there have been more highs than lows over the last, Steve Clarke's won 10 of his last 13 competitive matches. It's not a bad record so far. Hopefully that continues. Did you play the 2010 Spain game when they came as world champions?
Did.
Very close that night as well, eh?
Should have got Sancho. Great character and resilience to come back for going 2. And I think it was Iniesta got the second goal just after half time, and then we came back, got 2-2, and we're putting it down to the Jabulani that night.
The
ball that came in, it was so light that Big Mick went up for a header and he literally missed it by about a good yard, and it fell to Lorente 6 yards out. He took a touch and smashed it in, but the balls would move everywhere. But again, it was a brilliant, exciting game. Mm-hmm. We came back in, you say, world champions, and we kept 2-0 down. You're thinking, right, this is going to go on and be 3 or 4, but the boys got back into it, got back to 2-2. Nasey got a goal, there was an OG, and we were right back at it, and we were the team. We were pushing, we were at them that night.
Are those special occasions when, like, you know you're bang up against it, obviously, but over the years we have built up a reputation that sometimes been able to dig out some of our more impressive performances when you really aren't fancied?
Again, I think when we're favourites and we're expected to go and beat the likes of Georgia, and again, it goes, listen, there's no easy games in international football. No, you just need to look through the list of results this weekend. There'll be shocks out there. There'll be smaller teams that are getting results against big teams. So it's Scotland have been that in the past, that they've been there, maybe nothing to lose. You're playing your Englands or your Hollands or your Italy's or your Ukraines, France's. There's that bit between their teeth that we want to fight, and we want to show that we can get something against all odds. We normally have found it tougher, like the Georgias, the Macedonias, the Liechtensteins, these types of teams. But this group's a different group.
They up to now, because you always have to qualify that in case anyone plays this back, up to now they've actually been, they've done stuff with minimal fuss, actually, haven't they? And then what was held against them was, right, but where's that big result? And then it probably came Denmark. I know they're not completely on the, maybe the elite of,
they're a top team,
France,
though.
But they were certainly team. You look at what they did at the Euros and so on. So this current group's got, it's done a bit of both, hasn't it?
Listen, this group of players is a strong group. I think right across the board there is a real strength to the squad. That's why you have so many debates about who's going to be playing. Yeah, there's guys that you could probably nail down, but there's real cases for guys that are sitting on that bench that should be in the team, you know. So it's a strong group of players. They've performed at, again, they are moving in the right direction as a group and as a team under Steve. they've ended that, they've got that monkey off the back, you know, of the nation, and anybody who pulls that Scotland jersey on or has done for the last 20 years, they've made that major finals, and now it's just about getting to the next one.
Jim Duffy was listening. Clyde have scored already.
Huh.
But they were 1-0 down at the time, and it's now one each. So there we go. It's a goal fest. It's a goal fest between Clyde and Airdrie so far. How are you two getting on with this teaser? I mean, it should in theory suit the man who has played for Scotland a number of times, but we're looking for the last 10 Scotland goalkeepers to keep a clean sheet. Very topical ahead of tomorrow. The three easy ones: Gordon Marshall, McGregor. You've dug out Rab Douglas from way back in 03.
Did Neil Alexander do it?
Did Neil Alexander? You mean you've forgotten the Kirin Cup against Japan in 2006? Of there course he did. Well done.
Used to win. Neighbour of mine, Neil Alexander.
Were you involved?
No, I never went.
Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah, it does sound like a brilliant trip, but I missed out just at the end of the season with a wee injury.
Any more?
McLaughlin, did he come in to get
John
one?
John McLaughlin did in a 6-0 against San Marino 2019, chucking down with rain. Remember that?
Neil Sullivan?
No. No. Incidentally, okay. No. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 to get.
Gould?
Nope.
Nope. So Jilks?
Yes, Matt Jilks. That's the way Russell's done that, which is fine. Technically, I mean, they all count. He came on against Australia and kept a clean sheet for the 58 minutes.
That counts. Over half, yeah.
Yeah,
that
why counts. Not? It counts. Matt Jilks. Okay, we'll get the rest after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We could try and squeeze some more in before the end of the show, but time is quickly getting away from us. That means we're getting closer to Scotland against Cyprus. 2 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. Very much looking forward to that one. Lots of debate tonight. We've talked about Stevie Clark's new contract, and loads of people pointing out that in their minds, if you're not playing for your club, you shouldn't get a game tomorrow. But the guys in here are not quite as convinced on that front. And the last order of business for you is your full time teaser. So thanks again to Russell. He got his thinking cap on, fired an email over to fulltime@clyde1.com and came up with this question: who are the last 10 goalkeepers to keep a clean sheet for the Scotland men's team? Because someone will be in for their debut tomorrow. So you've given me the easy ones: Gordon Marshall, McGregor. You've then thrown in Neil Alexander, Rab Douglas, John McLaughlin and Matt Jilks. All excellent shouts, which means, is it three to get?
Or three, yep, three.
Give me a couple of guesses each.
Gallagher.
Paul Gallagher.
Yep.
Estonia 2004. Magnificent. Did you play?
Score 1-0.
Yep.
Fadden. Clarkson score, was that?
Not sure.
Not sure. I think I did, yeah. I think I did.
David Clarkson.
Yeah.
I only remember Czech Republic, but you could be right.
I might have been. Because
he always bangs on about scoring against Peter Cech.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
Because you would, wouldn't you?
Maybe it might have been Faddy. I'm not sure.
Anyway.
Scott Bain.
Yes, against San Marino. Right, we'll leave it there because you've only got one to get. That was the 2-0 win that wasn't good enough for most people. Remember that?
Yeah.
They'd just come off the back of Kazakhstan under Alex McLeish, beat San Marino 2-0, and it was like, what? Only 2-0? And I think that might have been the last. Was that Alex McLeish's last game? It was certainly one of them. Right, let's hear a bit more from the Scotland camp then. What about the skipper, Andy Robertson, talking about the strength of the group that Scotland are going to have to come through?
I think it shows you how tough this group is. The two games we played against Cyprus in the last campaign were extremely tough. I think Ollie Burke scored a last minute winner here at Hampden, and then in Cyprus I think we had to come from behind. So it shows you that, you know, I think international football as a whole has improved massively, and I don't think there's any easy games. And, you know, I'm sure Cyprus will be coming here tomorrow to prove that. Like you said, technically they're bottom seeds, but, you know, we're not taking it as that. We're looking forward to the challenge of this group. It's the toughest group, I think, in the whole of the Euro qualifiers, I think, looking at it, the countries that are in it. But we look forward to the challenge. We have to be competitive. We have to try and, you know, we want to qualify. We loved our experience in the last Euros and we don't want to miss out again. So we have to be determined and, you know, we have to be competitive in every game we play at. And, you know, it all starts with a good start on Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, look, whether it's the toughest group of the Euros or the second toughest or whatever, we probably don't need to split here too much. It's certainly tough. I mean, I look through them to try and see, right, genuinely, what's tougher than ours? England, Italy, Ukraine, North Macedonia, Malta, in some ways is tough, but then in Malta you've got a proper minnow. As Andy Robertson says, Cyprus are meant to be our minnow, meant to be our gimme, and they're better than that.
Well, it wasn't the gimme the last few times we played them. It's been tough. It took a last minute winner for Lolly Burke to get us over the line at home the last time. So it is a tough group. You know, I think the teams out with Spain are pretty much in a muchness. You know, I wouldn't say there's any kind of real favourites going in the game. We fell foul to Georgia back in the day. So it's tough, but it is the best possible start you could have Cyprus at home.
Yeah, it's certainly one of them, Hugh, and I've looked through again. If it's not the toughest, it's in the top two, you would have to say, because your eyes get drawn to your big hitter sometimes, and we know that that's Spain, but sometimes the better way of looking at it is to assess the rest. As we mentioned there, Cyprus is supposed to be your guaranteed six-pointer, and they seem better than, well, they are, you know, they're better than Gibraltar or Malta or San Marino or whatever. And then, of course, we all know what lies in wait. The team below us in the seeding has a certain blonde-haired Man City striker.
Kenny said it's the best one to start with. It is if you win it.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, the pressure builds and you carry that pressure into the next one, which just happens to be Spain at Hampden. So the mindset has to be bang on tomorrow. It's such a long time since we played a competitive international match. You simply don't know. You have to trust in the manager with a newly extended contract, picking the best team at his disposal. Those players responding to the atmosphere, because the ground will be full, and it's a fresh start, and the first one is so vitally important. To win is the only criteria tomorrow. It doesn't matter for me if the performance is less than dazzling, so long as they win and go into Spain with that at their back.
You agree with that, Kenny? Because again, if this was San Marino or if this was Malta, you would need more than just a win to satisfy some people. You're not getting away with a narrow victory.
And I think
Cyprus slightly above that, in the sense that it falls into Hugh's idea that, you know, just win the game.
I don't think, I mean, if we just win the game and it's 1-0 or it's another 2-1 and it's been a scrappy performance, and it's, I think you'll get a lot of callers saying, oh, that wasn't good enough, and yeah, we're happy with the result. But I think performance now is everything, and you'll be judged on it. And again, I'll go back to the group of players. That group of players are capable of putting a really good performance and winning this game quite comfortably.
Right, we're nearly there, so let's try and round off this teaser. We're looking at the last 10 goalies to keep a clean sheet for Scotland. Hopefully Angus Gunn, Xander Clark or Liam Kelly, delete as appropriate, joins the list tomorrow. But you've got Gordon Marshall McGregor, Neil Alexander, Rab Douglas, John McLaughlin, and it gets tough, Matt Jilks, Paul Gallagher and Scott Bain. Those are the nine, which means you're looking for one more of the last 10 goalies who've kept a clean sheet for Scotland.
I'm at the end. Yeah.
Your wit's end.
Yep.
He falls into the same category as Matt Jilks, because he came on. So, but they did say they all count.
Yep.
So he came on, I think, about half an hour maybe, towards the end of a game, and kept a clean sheet. It was against, oh, but your era, Kenny, let's say 2010, against the Faroes.
Yeah, definitely my era. Yep.
Now hold on. November 2010. Is that, no, I'm getting mixed up, ignore me. Faroes, November 2010.
Don't think I ever played against the Faroes. Don't know, once at Celtic Park. Clue.
He's sometimes in this studio.
Cammy Bell.
Oh, wow. It's the easiest clue I could give you. Cammy Bell. Sorry, Cammy, if you're listening. The guys couldn't quite remember it, but they got there in the end, so there we are. And all looking ahead to tomorrow. This is a novelty. I said it last night. I think 6 years I've been lucky enough to be on this show, I don't think we've ever had a Saturday afternoon qualifier in that time. We never get the chance to do it. So we're on tomorrow from 1 o'clock until five. So 1 o'clock, an hour before kickoff. Make sure you join us a bit earlier than normal. put it in your diary or whatever you do, set a reminder, 1 o'clock tomorrow, we will be here building up to Scotland-Cyprus, and it's the GBX up next.